KBBI's Morning News is sponsored by the Homer Foundation, connecting generosity to community need on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Since 1991, the foundation has provided more than $6 million in local grants and scholarships, helping students pursue education and training that strengthen our communities. Every scholarship tells a story and is an opportunity created by donors who care about the future. Join us and consider how your gift today or planned gift for tomorrow can make a lasting difference. The Homer Foundation, celebrating 35 years of generosity, scholarships, and community.
It's Thursday, February 5th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. Movie theaters across Alaska have faced a wave of closures over the last few decades, from Anchorage to Ketchikan. But in Homer, one independent startup is defying that trend. The Porcupine Theater in Homer is marking its first anniversary with more than 800 monthly members and a surprising shift in what residents are seeing on the silver screen. Homer's movie theater first opened in 1956 and screened films delivered by steamship from Seward. After decades of family ownership, a group of local residents purchased the venue in 2024 and launched The Porcupine. This latest chapter replaces the traditional blockbuster or bust business model with a membership-based subscription. The new strategy prioritizes classics and second-run films alongside live events to keep the projectors running in a shifting media landscape. Co-owner Susanna Webster says a membership-driven model provides a safety net that avoids a total reliance on individual ticket sales.
Really, without those members, we couldn't do all the other things that we do. Because we do so much, but it really is that stable monthly income that makes everything possible.
Several movie theaters in Anchorage closed down. It's a national trend. Industry press points to competition from streaming services and lackluster box office sales that struggled to rebound after pandemic lows. The owners of The Porcupine recognize the pressure from streaming services. Webster says new releases are on those services at the same time they are shown for the first time on the big screen.
Whereas 20 years ago, a movie could come out and then wasn't going to get released to Blu-ray or DVD or before that VHS for an entire year potentially. So people had to see movies in the theater if they wanted to see it anytime soon, and now that just does not exist.
The Porcupine's first year largely followed their original plan to operate as a community-supported, member-funded venue. The theater focuses on second-run and older titles because they don't come with the same screening requirements new releases have. Though that doesn't mean the theater can't screen new movies. Co-owner Nate Spence-Corman says studios have been more flexible than anticipated.
Because I think we were planning on it being like, 90% second run or like kind of classics and then having the occasional movie, but they've been, some of the studios are really flexible and we're able to get stuff, if not like, the first day. We've had a couple of, actually on the first day that they've been released. Often it's within a couple weeks or a few weeks.
In total, the theater screened 72 new releases during its first 11 months. Webster says the membership model also allows for a wider range of programming, including documentaries and older films, without relying on every screening to sell out. The theater is also experimenting with live sports broadcasts, starting with Super Bowl Sunday. It hosted its first fully staged live play, part of the owner's goal to operate as a multi-use space. Webster says the space has also hosted school activities and events for local nonprofit groups. Webster says more than 800 people now pay a monthly membership, providing a stable base of support for the theater. For the month of February, the theater is repeating its opening month promotion, offering $5 screenings to the general public. In Homer, I'm Simon Lopez. The Kenai Peninsula Borough School District's first charter high school program will welcome students this fall. That's after school board members signed off on Monday on adding 9th and 10th grades to Kenai's Aurora Borealis Charter School. As KDLL's Ashlyn O'Hara reports, approval was after passionate advocacy from the school community.
Monday's approval came less than 3 months after the board killed a similar request from Aurora Borealis. Last year, the school proposed a plan to add 9th through 12th grades over a period of several years. But that plan required displacing another school from the building, which the board was reluctant to do. By adding 2 grades instead of 4, Aurora Borealis principal Cody McKenna says they can use existing classrooms and avoid displacing other students. The revised application does not address plans to add 11th or 12th grades.
We're not asking for anything that's not already in our current charter for facility. we took all of that out. So we'd just be currently using the same space that we're using right now with no changes at this point.
During a work session earlier in the day, South Peninsula Representative Ashley Waddell identified a variety of technical errors that made the amendment inconsistent or non-compliant with state law. She unsuccessfully proposed sending the application back to the board's charter school committee for review. But those errors were corrected before the board's regular meeting later that evening. That's according to Assistant Superintendent Carrie Denderant, who oversees district charter schools.
With Mr. Holland's support, district leadership does support moving this action item forward.
Approval of Aurora Borealis Charter School's expansion is the latest step forward for charter schools in the district. School board members recently signed off on a new charter school in the Russian Old Believer community of Nikolaevsk, and a charter school run by the Kanaitse Indian tribe opened its doors last fall. Charter schools are public schools, but they operate slightly differently. They're governed by a committee of parents and teachers who, among other things, pick the school's curriculum and have hiring power over the school's principal. Aurora Borealis Charter offers what it calls a classical education model, with instruction in Latin and logic, as well as traditional academics. On Monday, Aurora Borealis parents, students, and employees asked the board to let the school add high school grades. Sixth grader William Elam says he wants to continue going to school with his friends.
Many of my current friends live in different high school zones, which means we would be split up. Some going to Soh High, some going to Kenai, and others Nikiski High. If we were able to have our own high school, the relationships we formed as 5- and 6-year-olds can continue up and through our teen years.
Richard Durkovorkian is an Aurora Borealis Charter School parent and former Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly member. He says there's a relationship between the district's difficult financial situation and student out-migration that could be helped by adding a charter high school program.
If KCBSD does not offer a charter high school option, my children will join the students who left. I don't want that outcome, and I don't think this board should either. Approving Aurora's high school charter amendment is not a threat to the district. It is an opportunity to retain students, stabilize enrollment, and keep families invested in the KPVSD.
Bill Severson teaches fourth grade at Aurora Borealis, which he's worked at since the school opened in the late 90s. He's the only school employee who has been there for that long.
For our students, we believe that carrying our program through high school will give them the greatest benefit toward their future. If we are granted a high school by you, the board, we believe we can continue working with our students effectively, thereby continuing mentorship and helping them reach their lifetime dreams and goals.
Board members ultimately voted 7-2 in favor of letting Aurora Borealis add 9th and 10th grades. The vote was met with cheers and applause from the audience.
Vote of 7 yes, 2 no, the motion passes.
After the vote, School Board President Jason Tarjainen was one of multiple board members who said advocacy for Aurora Borealis should not come with the disparagement of other district schools. Some who testified expressed concerns about the education environments at other district schools.
I think you're a great school. I really respect what you do. But I do want people to remember those kind of things when they talk about our other schools and what happens there, that there's other challenges that take place there. And we have some amazing, hardworking teachers that are in those buildings working through those challenges every day.
School Board Vice President Tim Doherty agreed and criticized the tenor of public comments leading up to the vote.
I, too, am kind of taken aback about the last half hour. I don't know exactly what happened there, but I spent over 30 years in a middle school, and my primary role was preventing bullying. I kind of felt there might have been some of that going on, and that was a discouragement for me because there was no way that wasn't going to pass.
With the board's approval in hand, Aurora Borealis plans to enroll its first 9th and 10th graders later this year. For the upcoming year, enrollment preference will be given to prior Aurora Borealis students. The first day of the 2026-2027 school year is August 19th. Reporting in Soldotna, I'm Ashlyn O'Hara.
This is KBBI AM 890 Homer, 88.1 FM Seward, translator K201AO.